What's going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of Tariq Radio. I am your gracious host. My name is Tariq Nasheed. Today's show is brought to you by BlackStarSurvival.com. That's a black-owned company that offers first aid kits, survival kits, body armor, and many more items aimed to helping the people and the community prepare for survival, disasters, emergency, and much more. That's BlackStarSurvival.com, ladies and gentlemen. So we're chopping it up as we always do on the show, ladies and gentlemen. I need y'all to hit that like button. I need you to hit that subscribe button. Let everybody know that we're live. We're going to take that real quick commercial break. So family, do not move a muscle, because we'll be right back right here on Tariq Radio.
Listen up, squares. You need to get the legendary book on game, The Art of Mackin', by author Tariq King Flex Nasheed. Available on Amazon right now. Can you dig it? This book has been a bestseller for 20 years, Jack. And the New York Times called it a classic. That means it's out of sight. So this book ain't for no lames who ain't trying to learn the game, jive turkeys. So if you're ready to stop slacking in your mackin', get the Art of Mackin' book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble right now, sucker. Rated PG. That stands for plenty of game, jive chumps.
If you're trying to start, grow, or scale your business and you don't have time for get-rich-quick schemes or gurus that promise you the world and don't deliver, well, you need to go ahead and check out my guy, The Business Bully, and let him teach you how to make money with your business. You've seen Dave Anderson on The Breakfast Club, on CNN, on Forbes, and on tour with me, and his clients have done over $100 million in revenue, and you can be next, ladies and gentlemen. Check out Dave's program at bully101.com to get more information. You go to that website, use the coupon code Tariq to get an additional discount. Bully101.com. Sign up right now.
Bro, stop playing and start spraying. Leave a op on the ground where you stand. At all costs, yeah, make sure you protect it. Old goon juice, the formula been tested. You can defend yourself if you find that you need a little help. Gotta stay ready, ain't no love in the street. Pepper spray straight to the face, make them get weak. Get it at OldGoonJuice.com. If they thinking you slipping, then tell them to come get them some. If you packing this, you won't be lacking. A shot to the eye in them problems you having. Maximal strip, hit them haters on ground, so you can feel free when you out in the town. Old Goon Juice, and don't forget a shirt, man. You gotta stay ready, that evil on lurk. Yeah.
Okay. You are now tuned into the legendary OG. Tariq Nasheed.
I want to apologize to all my friends
on Tariq Radio.
Where is Tariq getting all this cash?
Oh, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. Glad to have everybody tuning back in. What's going on with the family? I'm here. Been meaning to do the broadcast earlier this week. I'm feeling a little better with the COVID thing. I'm still a little congested, but I'm feeling much better. This thing is a bitch to shake. I've been taking the COVID test and I'm testing negative, but I still have those symptoms. But I'm here. I'm here with the family, so let's make it do what it do. I'm here chopping it up with you. A lot of stuff that we got to talk about on tonight's broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of stuff we got to touch on. The main thing we're talking about is this whole abolish the FBI talk we're hearing now. Now we're starting to hear all of this abolish the FBI. Well, Donald Trump's spot, Mar-a-Lago, it got raided by the FBI a few days ago. And all the MAGA folks and all of the people that sat around justifying the FBI doing every and anything to us, oh boy, they did an about face, didn't they? All these people that sat here and said, hey, back the blue no matter what they do, what happened? Oh my God, now the right wingers are yelling, defund the police. Abolish the FBI. They've raided Trump, so they've done an about face, boy. They are going in. And listen, the FBI's been around for over 100 years. They were basically set up to go after black folks. The FBI has been overstepping its boundaries with black society for over 100 years. They have gone after and damn near dismantled every black organization. And I'm talking about the positive ones. But man, they've infiltrated and they've just spied on black people for the longest, unjustly arrest black people for the longest, sat up here and assassinated black individuals who were significant in our community. Fred Hampton, Dr. King. You know, they've done that thing. Excuse me, guys. Still got symptoms. But yeah, they've done that thing against us. And the dominant society was like, well, buddy, if you do the crime, you do the time, dude. Maybe if you weren't being such a communist, the FBI wouldn't go after you, bro. You know, they told us all this stuff. They sat up here and justified the FBI overstepping the Constitution to get at us. Oh, man, they sat there and justified that. J. Edgar Hoover, with his moist ass, made it his personal mission to go after black folks. Oh, my goodness. And then when we talk about how unjust the feds are and the law enforcement is, oh, shut up. Blue lives matter, Negroes. And now that the FBI, and this is Trump's FBI, by the way. That's the ironic thing. This is the FBI director somebody Trump put in office. Trump put the FBI director in there, the current one. That's Trump's guy. And now they were like, oh, wait a minute. They're raiding us? Oh, no. Defund the FBI. Well, these suspected white supremacists, they have done an about face. When we were talking about defund the police, they were saying, shut the hell up, Negroes. And now, look, for all this week, defund the police, defund the FBI, the MAGA rights hypocritical new slogan. Now they're talking about defunding the police. Well, they don't like anything happening to them for 1 minute. Oh, boy, look at what they're saying. They're all over the place with it. Wait. There's going to be an abolish the FBI protest this week. Oh, man, they got an abolish the FBI protest. So now they're hitting the streets now. No justice, no peace, dude. Oh, my goodness. All the GOP allies calling for abolishing the FBI. Look at all of these folks. These were some of the main people who were sitting up here giving hand jobs to the police and the FBI for how they were handling black people. We must destroy the FBI. Oh, listen to them. The minute you do something wrong to them, boy, it's like, damn all that. All that stuff about funding the police, yeah, we were just playing. Just get rid of them. If they're going to turn on us, look at Marjorie Taylor Greene, defund the FBI. Oh, listen to them. How dare you attack us? The FBI is not designed to go after white people. What's wrong with you? The FBI is for the Negroes. Lord, these folks have lost their damn mind. But let me tell you something. The minute they get aggrieved by the FBI or law enforcement, boy, they don't waste no time. They start getting retaliation, man. Did y'all hear about the white man out there in Ohio? That white man started running up into the FBI field office. Man, he went up in there busting shots and he had a shootout with the police. Hold on, man. This guy here, what's his name? If you don't hear from me, I tried attacking the FBI. They ended up killing him. That dude put his life on the line to maintain white supremacy. Ricky Schiffer. He was trying to breach the Cincinnati FBI field office. He fled the scene. There was a 5-hour standoff. This dude was busting shots. He attended the January 6th riots and had ties to extremist groups, meaning white supremacists, like the Proud Boys. Man, what is it going to take to give the Proud Boys a damn RICO charge? How many times have you seen somebody connected to the Proud Boys do some janky insurrectionist type stuff? Where's this picture? Yeah, that's him right here. This guy, man, let me see. Well, I thought I had a way through bulletproof glass and I didn't. If you don't hear from me, he's all up on social media. He was on Truth Social. That's that right-wing social media app. It is true. I tried attacking the FBI and it'll mean either I was taken off the internet or the FBI got me or they sent regular cops. I hope a call to arms from somebody better qualified. If not, this is your call to arms from me. Leave work tomorrow as soon as the gun shop opens and get whatever you need to be ready for combat. Family, one raid. One raid. These folks, just one raid. And now these folks are ready to hit the streets with guns blazing. My goodness. But these, I will give them that though. They don't take anybody oppressing them. They were like, if we're going to be oppressed, hell, we might as well die. It's liberty or death. We might as well die if we're going to be oppressed. You see? They were martyr themselves for white supremacy. White supremacy is a religion. They were like, wait a minute. If they're raiding us and they're treating us like the niggers, well, damn it, what reason is there to live? You dig? That's how serious they take white supremacy. We want freedom or death, meaning the freedom to not be treated like niggers. You see? They weren't playing no games at all. And low-key, I ain't mad at them to a certain degree, but, you know, they're very hypocritical. But again, these folks are doing what they need to do to maintain white supremacy, and white supremacy should be dismantled. White supremacy should absolutely be dismantled, ladies and gentlemen. We shouldn't have a system of white supremacy. Speaking of white supremacy, did y'all see down in Florida, there was a teacher, he resigned because he put up some pictures of some black historic figures. He put up some pictures of Dr. King and Harriet Tubman and some other people. And they said those pictures are age inappropriate. He put some black American figures up on a bulletin board. And they said, well, damn it, that's age inappropriate. He put up George Washington Carver. I think he put up Obama. And they did some I'm white not say so stuff on him and said, hey, man, that's age inappropriate. Instead of saying, hey, we don't want those niggers on the wall. And these are the pictures. I'm assuming this was probably a predominantly white school. So these are the images right here. These are the age inappropriate. That's what I mean. The age inappropriate images of Dr. King and other people. Well, they just, I'm white and I say so the hell out of that, didn't they? That's all white supremacy is about, family. I want y'all to understand that. At the end of the day, white supremacy is all about I'm white and I damn say so. That's why don't try to overthink it. Because black folks make mistakes of trying to overthink white supremacy, thinking that there's some type of secret laws that you need to learn. That's why a lot of these niggas wearing the fezzes and all of that, they like to get in here and argue. No, brother. That ain't it. See, you calling yourself black. And under Black Law Dictionary, see, black means dead, and then you have to correct your status. And I got a correction of status correction package that you got to get for $39.99, brother. Because there's some secret laws that you don't know about to deal with this cracker. No, it ain't, family. It ain't no secret laws. It's just I'm white and I say so. They can make up laws and rules as they go every day. That's all it is. It ain't no nigga with a fez gonna sell you some secret damn laws that if you learn, everything is gonna be all right. No. These folks make up this stuff. The white supremacists make it up as they go along, man. That's the long and short of it. If you understand that, you'll be good. Okay, you said somebody said the class was predominantly black. The teacher said so. And okay. I didn't know that. Looked like, well, in that picture, it was some white hands. So I don't know, you know, the demographic of the school, but they just pulled it, I'm white, and I say so on that, brother. But anyway, I digress. And speaking of I'm white and I say so, y'all know the Democrats for a long time, when we were talking about what do we get as tangibles from the elected officials? What has Obama done? What has the Biden administration done? And they love to sit up and bring up that whole thing about black farmers. Well, we have done something. We have done something for the Negroes. We've done something for you. Remember the black farmers? There were some black farmers who we helped get a lawsuit settled. You know, they were bragging about that black farmer thing. Well, here's the update on the whole black farmer thing right here. Biden's withdrawal of support for black farmers. So he's basically, the Biden administration, they've withdrawn support for those black farmers. They ain't giving them nothing, basically. They've been fighting for debt relief for over three decades. And right here it says, after fighting for debt relief for almost three decades, Boyd, who was the president of that Farmers Association, was elated when the emergency relief for farmers of color was passed and signed into law by Joe Biden last year. Boyd met with Biden during the primaries to discuss the plight of black farmers. And now he said the legislation has been overturned. So that's what it is. You know, Biden is just being Biden. Nothing more, nothing less. Well, nobody's surprised. And I wish this brother stopped all of that farmers of color talk. Damn all that farmers of color talk. Make that thing about black folks, man. Let's stop being afraid to make things black. Let's stop being afraid to fight for things that are black. Let's get off that. We got to be unapologetic about saying, hey, we need some things done for black people. We got to get off that. Speaking of black folks, there was some stuff. I'm not going to play the clip, but they had some of those Real Housewives. They had Kathy Hilton on Watch What Happened Live on Bravo. And I guess they were showing her different pictures of different celebrities, and they showed her a picture of Lizzo and asked, okay, who is that? And that woman said Lizzo was precious. She thought Lizzo was Gabby Sidibe. Lord, she thought that Lizzo was Gabby Sidibe. She said, who is that, precious? So that just lets you know these people. She mistakes Lizzo for Precious on Watch What Happens Live. See, they look at like certain black people, we're like cookie cutter black folks to them. You know, one type of black person fits the thug narrative, so all niggas look like that. One type of black person fits the unthreatening Negro narrative, like a Don Lemonade or somebody like that, and then other Negroes fit that narrative. Then you have the fat black woman mammy narrative, and all of them are interchangeable in white supremacist eyes. You understand what I'm saying? They look at all fat black women as one big mammy. That makes sense? That's why I'm not shocked. That's like a cookie cutter thing. That's why when you look at daytime television shows, they always have a big fat black woman on there. They always have that mammy figure on there. And in the minds of the white supremacists, they're all interchangeable. They're all interchangeable. It's a very interesting dynamic that goes on with them. Now, we know Lizzo and Gabby Sidibe don't look a damn thing alike, but that don't matter in the minds of those in the dominant society. It doesn't matter. Them women don't look nothing alike. They look nothing alike, but in the minds of the white supremacists, where they all look the same. They don't look at them as individual people. They look at them as prototypes. And they've always looked at the mammy, the Sambo, the Buck, that we looked at as prototypes. It's real interesting, very interesting dynamic. Extremely interesting dynamic. But I digress, ladies and gentlemen. Somebody sent me a tweet the other day. Well, actually, I saw this today. They were talking about Botham John's family. You know, Botham John, our brother Botham John, who's a Caribbean brother, who was killed by Amber Geiger, who she ran up in his house and killed him. And she's in jail now, and his brother went up there doing all of that Sambo hugging on that woman. So Botham John, his family, they are starting a scholarship using a lot of the money that was donated to them. So the family is starting a scholarship, and they're creating a scholarship for only Caribbean students here in the U.S. Okay. So family, let me, all the non-FBA people, let me ask y'all this. Is this divisive? Because people say that when you only look out for one group, that's divisive. So Botham John is over here. He got his, you know, black folks, Foundation of Black Americans were supporting him and his family. We were the one really fighting for justice, because while they were hugging, we were out here really getting on these people's bumper to produce justice. So now they've gotten a lot of money. They've gotten donations and all of that stuff. And now they created a scholarship, but it's only for Caribbean students. So now I'm asking the family in the chat room, especially the non-FBA people, is that divisive? Because I thought looking out for just your group, even though we all black, I thought it was divisive. So what is it, tomato or tomato? What is it? Is it tomato or tomato? Is it Uchi Wally or is it One Mike? Because see, when we do stuff, or when we really don't do stuff like this, but when we start doing stuff like this, or even talking about doing stuff like this, oh my God, you niggas are divisive. You see? So what is it? And speaking of us niggas being divisive and people criticizing us, excuse me. Remember the Nigerian cat who was talking real greasy about Foundation of Black Americans and, you know, talking grease about FBA women and us too. He was calling us all types of thugs and all types of stuff, and all that's where the white women at, and oh, I want me a white woman. And his whole family, his Nigerian family, was talking real greasy about us, and his white girlfriend ended up killing him. And now, after months and months and months, they're finally charging her. They're finally charging her with murder. And it's probably because they found another video of her being violent with this guy. This is her. This was them on an elevator February 21st. And it was showing that this woman had a history of being violent with this dude. Let me turn the volume down. But this is her in an elevator whooping on this dude. No, she was very violent with this dude. She was treating this dude like her little personal slave. You know? And he was talking all crazy about how black women are. I mean, this white woman was up here abusing him and then ultimately ended up killing him, which is unfortunate. I'm not, you know, justifying that, but damn. Yeah? And remember, it was this dude's family. When they came out, they were looking to Foundational Black Americans like, hey, niggas, remember we said bad things about you niggas. We called you all types of akatas, but we need justice. We did not mean it, niggas. Oh, his whole family was calling us akatas and the whole shebang, remember? Oh, his whole family was going in on us. It wasn't just him. His whole family was on social media going in on us. Yeah? And then they start, when nobody was arresting her, they're like, hey, niggas, we all have to fight. We have to fight together, niggas. We have to fight. Okay, well, then was she's been arrested, so let's see if some justice is going to be served. Let's see if justice is going to be served. I want to see justice served. I don't mind that. I don't mind justice being served. But this just, all these folks who think it's sweet to sit around here and denigrate us, when people don't really learn their lesson. people ain't really learning their lesson, to be honest, because people still, you know, it's too ingrained in their culture to get around each other, especially when we're not around, and try to denigrate us. That's why our movement is going so strong, us understanding our lineage and who we are. You know, shout out, let me show y'all this clip of Floyd Mayweather. Even Floyd Mayweather understands. Shout out to Floyd. Floyd, he's been obviously listening, describing himself. He's not an African-American. He's a black American. He's spitting nothing but facts here. I want y'all to listen to our good brother, Floyd Mayweather. Listen to Floyd. Hold on 1 second. Let me play this audio for you. Let me get it together. Hold on. Hold on. There you go. Nothing but facts. I didn't find no lie in there, ladies and gentlemen. I didn't find no lie. Shout out to my brother Floyd. Shout out to Floyd, our FBA brother. I remember when he was fighting. I went to the fight up there in Vegas. I had my American flag. I had my American flag representing the Foundation of Black American Fighter. Yes, he definitely on code. Yes, Floyd is the truth. Shout out to that brother. Floyd knows what's up. Our brother Floyd knows what the business is. He knows what's up. But like I said, man, the movement is real. We're understanding who we are. We're recognizing and we're celebrating who we are. And we're not letting folks exploit us the way they are used to doing. And a lot of people are still crying foul. They got this one woman, shout out to Nas Escobar, Caroline Wanga. She's the CEO of Essence, and she's Kenyan. And as we know, black folks, we ain't really rocking with no damn Essence. Essence magazine and all them, Ebony, and all, they've all fallen all the way off because they got too many tethers in there who don't represent us, and the readership is non-existent at this point. So they had Caroline Wanga in here talking about us being all the same. See, people like to talk that talk when it works out for them. But listen to this. These folks understand that we are looking out for our lineage, and now they're trying to hang on to dear life. But listen to this. Hold on. Hold on.
The optimal health, because we started at the wrong place. Your foot is broken and you're over here trying to make sure your face look good. But you can't walk. The last one is world. What does that mean? It means something really simple that is a pet peeve of mine that I'm gonna put on the table and I'm gonna shut up. All this BS about African versus US black versus Caribbean black versus Canadian black versus Antarctica black, I don't have facts to prove that. We everywhere. Arctic black. If you allow that narrative to exist within you, you're participating in dismantling who we're supposed to be in this world, y'all. Rich and I are no more, actually no less dedicated to the black community in the US than we are to the black community in Africa and in the Caribbean and in Europe. And the fact that our descent is African and your descent might be different does not mean that we can't represent all. And we're not fighting for all. And we keep letting this narrative exist in the fucking, sorry, world. I told y'all this is me. If you were calling me, this is how it would come out, y'all. And I'm gonna tell you why I'm triggered on that in a second. Anybody can believe what they want to believe.
Bro, let me play another part. Hold on.
Because the amount of energy that we spend, and this is honest, y'all, the amount of energy that we spend trying to mitigate around that is taking energy away from what we could be doing. When I took this job with Rich, and he knows this, and we were writing the press release, it was literally a conversation about should I put on there that I'm Kenyan or not. Deadass. You can cut this in the video, Steph. Then I'll say it again, deadass. Why do I have to sit there and think about if in an interview, on a stage, in a place where I'm talking about this thing that is my job, I gotta be careful about saying if I'm Kenyan because somebody won't think that I can lead them because they're not from Kenya, but they're black like me. That my black can't be their black and their black can't be my black.
It ain't because it ain't. Okay, let me get on this. All right. Yeah. So now, like I said, because we're not letting any and every, yes, boo, I'm throwing tomatoes. Yeah, we're just not letting everybody represent us no more. That's what it is. And we put everybody on notice. Essence has done a horrible job. They put a bunch of damn tethers in there who wrote a bunch of zaddy worshiping stories, 5 ways to find you a white man, and y'all sat up in Essence and denigrated black men. Y'all sat up there for years denigrating us, you damn tethers, and now you want to say we all the same. These tethers got up in Essence, Ebony, Madame Noir. They got up in all of these publications and made it their life mission to denigrate foundational black Americans. That's why we're throwing tomatoes. You damn right, sister. We ain't rocking with you. Y'all spent the last decade denigrating us in these magazines on the slick, and we were wondering why are black magazines denigrating us like this? And then we started finding out, hey, these last names don't look right. These last names sound real different. Then we found out most of the people, damn near all of them working at these publications are not even FBA. So these people don't have a camaraderie with us. Y'all been crapping on us for the last 10 years. So don't get up there copping please now that you ain't got no readers and ain't nobody rocking with you. You damn right we ain't rocking with you. You damn right we ain't rocking with you. I'm black, you black. Stop it. Y'all say that when it's time to get something out of us. Boy, y'all, we've been complaining about Essence for the longest, man. Essence would just denigrate us so badly. And man, people can only take so damn much. People can only take so much, man. Yeah, so we good. Yeah, and notice, like I said before, remember back in the day, about a decade ago, they would be proud to throw their flags up all over the place. Or Kenyan flags, Somalian flags, they would throw their flags up with pride to let white people know, hey, I'm not like those guys. So now, they walk on eggshells about that. They didn't snatch them flags down and they don't even want to say where they're from now. They don't even want to say where they're from now. I keep telling y'all, we got a lot of $5 FBAs around here, a lot of fake $5 FBAs, people who don't want to let you know that there's something else. They've been hiding. They're trying to hide among us, guys. They're trying to hide among us. That's why we're checking hairlines and cake soap. You dig? It's real out here, man. Don't cop please now. And again, they still do little slick stuff and when they get around each other and talk greasy or when they get around some white folks, they still talk slick and greasy. Speaking of slick and greasy, y'all boys, Fresh and Fit, were back at it. Fresh and Fit, those two Nimrods, they were back at it. And Fresh and Fit, they were sitting up here, family, and these are some immigrants, one from Sudan and the other one is from Barbados, and they brought it upon themselves. They were on their broadcast recently and they wanted to give foundational black Americans some advice on success, ladies and gentlemen. This is Fresh and Fit, two immigrant tethers who fled, giving foundational black Americans some advice on how to get over racism and be successful like them. This is them giving us advice, family. Okay, hold on, hold on, Hold on.
See, black people are incapable of being racist. They're some of the most racist ones because everything comes back to race for them. Everything.
I'm not going to neglect what they went through in the past.
Yeah.
I was here for it, of course. You know, we weren't here for it. But that pain is still lingering. My thing is, look, if you want to do better in life and move forward, you got to let it go. Yeah.
Okay. Hold on. Now, this guy right here, he's Caribbean. I think he's from Barbados. He's like, well, I'm not going to neglect what they've been through in the past. Nigga, you're from Barbados. You're from a slave colony, too. You're from a slave colony, too, fool. Barbados was a slave colony. I'm not going to neglect what they've been through. I'm not going to neglect what they've been through in the past. He thinks he's a dark European. Barbados was a slave colony, dude. Hold on.
The most racist ones because everything comes back to race for them. Everything.
I'm not going to neglect what they went through in the past.
Yeah.
I wasn't here for it, of course. You know, we weren't here for it. But that pain is still lingering. My thing is, look, if you want to do better in life and move forward, you got to let it go. You have to.
Yeah.
On some level, you have to. So, in this sense, I'm just saying, look, if you're black and you're being held about by your beliefs of being black, everyone hates you, whatever, bro, it's 2022. We're black right here, right? This is proof.
But we're not historically black. What is
you're
it?
Right. We're not African.
You're not a real black guy.
We're not. It's called a foundationally black American situation.
We're immigrants, right?
Immigrants, like our family. Hold on, I think it's something like if your third uncle back didn't pick cotton or something like that, you cannot be considered real black. You can't talk about this. Yeah. So we don't qualify, bro.
I think he was in the house.
We can't talk about these issues.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Never mind. Okay. Cool.
Okay.
Black people are being racist.
Okay.
Some of the most racist ones because everything comes back.
Let me take that. Okay, so they're playing dumb. So they're going to tell us, two dudes who fled from impoverished nations, they want to come over here and tell us, well, y'all just got to get over the racism and be successful like us to get a job. To be successful like them to go get a job. So two fleers are trying to tell us what the damn do. See, this is why we check people. This is why we're saying, hey, man, we don't want these cornball ass folks representing us. This is why we are differentiating ourselves from that type of tether babble. And there were some other dudes who was on YouTube the other day, this couple of Nigerian dudes, and they were just really going in on Foundation of Black Americans. They had my name in the title, Tariq Nasheed and Umar, they're scammers. So, you know, that's just them projecting. So they had to use my name in order to get views in this thing. And basically, they were just using me and others as proxies for black society. You understand? I want y'all to understand that they'll just use some of us as proxies to denigrate all foundational black Americans. So this, these dudes, listen to them. They're talking about how basically foundational black Americans are jealous because they come over here from West Africa and they utilize all of these opportunities and take advantage of these opportunities that we don't take advantage of. And we're just not doing what they're doing. We ain't getting like them. Foundation of Black American Family, I mean, damn. They're trying to show us how to get it popping. And we need to learn from them. Listen, hold on.
Nigerians had a reputation of being gangbangers when they come to America. If they had a reputation of being deadbeat fathers and bad families, the Black American or foundational Black American community would overwhelmingly embrace the Nigerian. What has happened is that the Black American or the foundational Black American is looking at the Nigerian, looking at the success, like you said, C-suite executives, doctors, engineers, business owners. They're saying, how did these black people come here and achieve all this in slavery and blah, blah, blah? And see, they were told that slavery existed, they were oppressed, the white man's holding them back. And then they see my parents, they see your parents,
they see other Nigerians, and they're like, and something doesn't click. So instead of critically thinking, they listen to idiots like Tariq Nasheed, dogging the Nigerian, dogging the productivity of the Nigerian, or any other West African that comes here. Now they're the enemy. But the true enemy is you. You've been here for 7-8 generations. You didn't take advantage of the free public school system. You didn't take advantage of all the resources in this country. Instead of going to, Trick Mike, you went to HBCU.
I did.
How many black kids really were majoring in mathematics compared to social science?
Okay. Oh boy. Wow. Okay. So we didn't take advantage of stuff. Family, we built the country from damn scratch. We created the opportunities. Everything that any other black person has was something that foundational black Americans created for them and fought for them to take advantage of. We're not looking at you with jealousy. And don't put my name in to talk about I hate on the Nigerians. No, I don't. I correct tethers such as yourself, sir, who's sitting over here lying in frontin' to save face, because if you were so thorough, you would have been thorough back home. You wouldn't be in just complete immense poverty in your homeland. You couldn't do none of that in your damn homeland. And then you want to come over here and act like you're doing something fly by getting a damn job. If you were so thorough, you wouldn't have to have fled. And later on in his video, he started bragging about how there's a Nigerian, an African-owned car company, the Innocen car company out there, how, yeah, foundational black Americans should stop getting European cars and buy one of those cars out there from West Africa. The Innocen car company should buy one of those cars. And here's the deal. What he ain't telling you, those cars are basically made in damn China. Those are just reassembled Chinese cars, man. See, they start talking like we don't know what the business is. The cars from that innocent car company in West Africa, that's why when you look at the cars, there's Chinese writing all over the parts of the cars, because those cars, those parts are sent over from China. They're manufactured in China, and they just reassemble them and rebrand them over there. So don't let them run this game on you. Don't run that game now. You understand? But that this type of contempt, this is just contempt for foundational black Americans. And if the car company was so popping, how the hell he ain't over there working for the car company? Because he would have to go to China too, because that's where they make them damn cars. And then send them over there. They just use that place as a damn one-stop factory to reassemble the Chinese parts. Come on, man. Don't try to run no game on us, buddy. Let me play some more. And here's another part of the clip where it was a brother on here, and he was talking about oppression, and this dude was like, I ain't oppressed. The Nigerian dude was like, what oppression? Hold on.
This is doing what is by nature is normal for them. Who's your oppressor? Who's oppressing you now? Same one oppressing you. Sir, nobody's oppressing me right now. So, I've never been oppressed. You've never been oppressed?
No, who's oppressing? Who's oppressed me? I've never been oppressed, sir.
Okay, the definition of oppression to be treated unfairly? Isn't that the definition?
I've never been treated unfairly, sir. When I was in school, teachers, and I'll tell you something even better. White teachers went above and beyond to assist the black students in the class. When I was in college, sir, nobody was oppressing me in college, sir. I don't know what you're talking about.
Just doing what
all right. So yeah, these folks ain't about to fight no white supremacy, man. This is what it's all about. They try to use me. Well, that Tariq be denigrating. No. They use, because I'm known for fighting white supremacy, so they'll use me as a proxy for all black Americans. These folks ain't trying to fight no white supremacy, man, as we see. These folks can't wait to get up under us. What white supremacy? What oppression? Ain't no oppression. Ain't no damn oppression. Well, then why are you over here? What made you have to flee your homeland? Well, it's the government. Well, who's causing the government to be so corrupt? You see, It's the white supremacists that corrupted your government over there. And the white supremacists are running everything over there in your homeland. They're running it to the ground. They're extrapolating all of the resources over there and pillaging those countries over there. And then they pillage the country so bad until the economy is ravaged to the ground to the point where you have to leave. And then you come over here talking about what oppression. What oppression? There's no oppression, nigga. There's no oppression. Yeah, fool, it is oppression. You just don't want to do anything about it. You want to get under us where we actually fight it, where you can just get the luxury to deny it while we're sitting here fighting it. Because to you, as long as you can take a crap on a toilet and not on a curb outside, you ain't oppressed. See, you've set the bar hella low. And we haven't. We don't have a low bar. You're just happy to not have to crap in the streets and bathe in a river. So your bar is real low. Anything, as long as you ain't crapping in the streets and wiping your ass with a leaf, everything is fine. I'm not oppressed. I'm doing great. You see? That type of disrespect and arrogance for you to come over and try to school us on something, that's nothing but disrespect. And let me tell you something, that's self-hate too, because a lot of these cats keep it a buck. They hate themselves. They hate the men and the women over there. There's another video of this same guy. Where's that video? There's another video of this same guy talking about Nigerian women. I want y'all to hear this. This is the same guy. Somebody showed this video. They posted this video under my video. This is the same guy actually talking about his women over there in Nigeria. This is him talking about the Nigerian women. This is him talking. Hold on. Listen to this guy, same guy.
I work to rape African women. People would get mad at me. Again, I clearly said it like 10 minutes ago that African American women were the best looking on the planet. That African American women were the best looking on the planet. And again, I said it is probably because African American women are not homogenized. Nigerian women are, I hate to say it, they're not really good looking. Yeah, you find your outliers, but generally Nigerian women look like men to me, and a lot.
Wait,
of them,
you said generally Nigerian women look like men to you?
They generally look like men. Like they have these very pronounced facial features. They're almost like to the point where they're masculine facial features. I've never have said, oh wow, look at that Nigerian chick. Never. Now there are a few models that I like. I've actually dated a Nigerian model before in the past when I was in college, but generally they're not good-looking women. Now, Liberian women are good-looking. Your typical Liberian woman is about a 5, 5.5, and I think one of the reasons is because they're mixed. They have a lot of different tribal groups. They have a lot of, you know, American blacks ended up going back there and interbreeding with the natives, and so now you have different black groups breeding together.
Okay, so yeah, there you that's him, that's your boy right there, that's him, hold on, that's your dude right there, man. So you see why there's so many divestors coming out of West Africa, those divesting women, because they, you know, they got a bone to pick with the dudes over there talking about them like this. So they come over and find the first white man they can find. They come over and find the first white man they can jump in bed with. You see? So that's a lot of self-hate then. Some people kind of notice that dude looked like he might have a hankering for some Bucci cat too. He might have a hankering for like a white man or something. I don't know. His energy seems kind of off, but I digress, ladies and gentlemen. But I digress. But when we say, hey, man, some of these folks, their mindsets, we don't really rock with that because we come from a different lineage. So our lineage is different. Our culture is different. And oftentimes our mindset will be different, even though we're all melanated people. That doesn't mean that we're going to have the same mindset. That's just what it is. Just because we're melanated people, family, that's not going to mean we're going to have the same mindset. Will we be treated the same? Yes, but we understand that. A lot of these folks don't have the same mindset to understand that. That's why when you ask them, when you talk about the oppressor, what oppressor? I don't know what you're talking about, nigga. I'm not oppressed, nigga. Oppression? I don't. What oppression? There's no oppression to me, nigga. You see? We're not the same, dude. We're not the same. And this goes, well, a lot of folks from Africa and a lot of folks in the Caribbean. Did y'all see this video from these Caribbean Dominicans? This Dominican grandmother up here with the Dominican baby. Don't want the baby to have a dark-skinned doll. Look at this. Look at this. This black Dominican mom or grandmother doesn't want the baby to have a Dominican doll. Look at this. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Yeah, so yeah, we're supposed to sit up here and say we all the same? Is that what we supposed to be doing, man? Come on, man. Come on, man. That ain't us. And it's okay for us to say, hey, man, that ain't what you got going on. Ain't got nothing to do with us over here in FBA land, man. That woman looks like Oprah Dan Winfrey sitting up here trying to brainwash this baby. We different, man. And it's okay. I don't really want to try to build with people with that kind of self-hate, man. I'm going to keep it up. I don't really want to build with folks who think like that. I don't even want to waste time with folks who think like this. Because we ain't going to get nowhere anywhere with them anyway. We're not going to get nowhere with them. You dig? Damn all that self-hate and ain't no white supremacy. Oh, let's play with the white doll. Nah, man, come on. I want my FBA family. Don't let nobody try to shame you for being awoke. Don't let nobody shame you for understanding the truth and not being a self-hater. You don't hate yourself like these other folks do. You talk about people who hate themselves. These other folks hate them damn selves. That's why they flee their homeland and leave it all in shambles. These folks are self-hating like a mug. That's why they're sitting over there putting cake soap on all day and damn night. They try to act like, well, we don't. Y'all, FBA niggas, y'all don't have an identity. No, we have enough identity to be proud of who we are and be comfortable with who we are. We ain't dipping and diving in cake soap and running and fleeing all over the damn place. Yeah, don't let them project that filth onto us. We got to get that up out of here. But I digress. I put up a video of, and I want to get everybody's opinion on this. I want to get people's opinion on this video. Now, this was at an airport. What airport was this? I don't know what airport it was, but it was Spirit Airlines. Dallas-Fort Worth. This was at the Dallas-Fort Worth Airlines airport. And there was an altercation between this woman who looks like she's Latina and a black worker at the airport. He looks like he was a queen. And there's a dude at the end who kind of jumped up to defend the Latina woman. Now, let me ask y'all this. I want y'all to watch this video. And I want to ask you guys, who do you think was in the wrong in this video? The Latina lady, the black queen, or the black dude caping at the end? All right? I want y'all to watch this video and let me know who you guys think were in the wrong in this video. Who do you think was in the wrong in this video? All right. Who do you think was in the wrong? Here we go. Let me get the thing together. Hold on. Who do you think was in the wrong? Okay. All right. Now, who do y'all think was in the wrong in the video? Who was in the wrong? All right. Who was in the wrong? The bad built chick, the chick with the bad build, the queen, or this damn simp at the end? Oh, this dude. The captain save a hoe at the end, dude. Look. Now, my thing is, look, yeah, you don't let no woman get jumped on or whatever, but she instigated all of that. She was putting her hands on that dude. You know, she was putting her hands on that queen, and there's only so many times you're going to put your hand on a queen. And that queen started moving so fast on her. That queen moved real quick. So, again, yeah, she put hands on him. You know, she all slapping him. At some point, you know, I guess the guy said, hey. But then the dude at the end, oh, okay, you real extra, bruh. You real extra. The dude at the end, I think he was trying to get some brownie points or whatever. I don't know. But boy, let me tell you something. Y'all don't run up on no damn queen. Ladies, don't run up on no queen like that. Don't run up on no queen. He think he's a bigger bitch than you. So yeah, ladies, you better understand what you're dealing with. You don't run up on them big queens. And you know, she kept hitting him. She kept pushing the dude, and she kept, you know, she slapped him. Oh, come on, that queen said, hey, enough is enough. That queen said, I can get another damn job. I don't need this airport job. I do hair on the side. I can work at my cousin's shop. You know, that queen can start a catering business. You don't, you know, run up on no big chunky queen like that. God damn, you know. But my thing is with the dude caping, would he cape for a sister like that, though? That's what I'm saying. That's what I want to know. When it's a white or Latina woman, boy, these Negroes pop out of nowhere trying to defend their honor. But when somebody is fighting with a sister, and a lot of sisters ain't going to do all that. But I don't see these dudes jumping up defending the sisters like that. You know? Niggas just sit around and let sisters get jumped on. I don't see the dudes jumping up for the sisters like that. But boy, the white woman or the Latina woman instigates a situation and somebody puts hands on her. Boy, the niggas come out with the, hey, wait a minute now. I got to defend the honor now, brother. Hey, now, I got a flight to catch, but hell, I be down there in Detroit and when any time I get to Detroit, any damn time. You can't be doing no woman like that now. Especially no fine Latina like this. You can't do that now, nigga. All of a sudden, you turn into damn Shaft. That's what I don't like. Do it for sisters. Do all of that soul brother fighting for some sisters. Don't turn into Richard Roundtree for some Latinas. Hey, what you doing over there, cat? You lay your hands off the lady. Can you dig it? Okay, stop it. Okay. Like, calm down, nigga. Calm down, Black Dynamite. Anyway, man, let me get up out of here, man. That's been today's broadcast, man. Much respect to the family. Thank everybody for tuning in. Much respect to y'all, man. Again, I'm feeling a little bit better. My throat is getting better. I'm still a little congested, but I'm here. I'm making it do what it do. Don't forget to go to officialfba.com to get my book, Foundational Black American Race Beta, and all that good stuff. And I'm going to holler at you guys in a couple of days. Papi Akute, lullabuve to the family. Peace.